Every so often I decide to actually go old school. By old school, I mean kind of 19th century, really. So today I thought, no, I won't be dealing with satellite navigations and such like stuff. I've never actually been to the centre of Newark before, but the Newark Town Hall should be fairly straightforward to find, especially if I ask people, which I did twice, got here safely. And the great news is that we have Natasha Armstrong with us. How are you, Natasha?
I'm very well, thank you.
So why are we here, Natasha, on this wonderful July Saturday morning, keenly set to do another outside broadcast location report just 14 hours after we finished the Great Yorkshire Show?
Well, we've got a very special weekend here in Newark. We have the Newark Book Festival. It's on today and tomorrow, and there's going to be loads of good events to take part in, and I'm sure we're going to get to see quite a few of them.
And we've got the fabulous Sarah Bullimore, who's currently setting up at present. We'll probably try and grab a few words with her in a few moments. Should we actually try and buttonhole her now, do you think? Should we wander across? I mean, what's the worst she could do? She'd probably tell us to go forth and be fruitful.
Yes, I think that might.
Doesn't sound like Sarah, but you know, you never know. Obviously, you've got Spike in full hand there from that sort of point of view, our station mascot. So let's have a little wander around here as she's working through this. This is the first time I've actually buttonholed her in action, so to speak, and whoa, she's coming through in all sorts of ways. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Alex.
Good. You see, she didn't tell us to go forth and be fruitful, Natasha, so that's great. So we've located it. This is the big event. This is what we've all been talking about on Inspired On Air. This actually is going to be an Inspired On Air, because the July Inspired On Air, or rather, yes, the July Inspired On Air, we won't have access to the studios at Siren, so this is a pre-recording thing. I know.
Oh, well, at least we're here. Hey.
Exactly. The Siren Studios might be sort of off base, but the fact that the Newark Book Festival is happening is clearly there in every sense of the word. So how long have you been setting up, Sarah? Were you here at 4 a.m. this morning?
Not quite that. It feels like it, though. We got here about 7:15, so quite well. It's all right, as you can see, there's lots going on. There's a hive of activity already. Our smallest theatre are arrived, and soon we'll see a motorbike appearing in front of us with a very small theatre on it. So it's all going well.
Absolutely. A few name checks for your helpers so far?
Absolutely. I have an amazing team. I have to say, an amazing team of volunteers. I say that now before we've done anything, because then they just have to be perfect. This is Chelsea. Chelsea's here.
Hello, Chelsea.
Jess was here too, and so was Chris, festival photographer.
You get a microphone out and suddenly, whoosh,
yeah,
it's all gone.
They've all gone. They've just all disappeared, haven't they? They were all here. They've gone.
So, Natasha, your first Newark Book Festival?
Yes, this is my first Newark Book Festival. I believe this is the first Newark Book Festival, because before we did Books in the Castle, didn't you? Yes. So.
Yes, this is my first one, and the new rebranded Newark Book Festival. So we'll see what happens.
I think it's wonderful you're right in front of the town hall here, which is effectively undergoing refurbishment. It seems every part of the country is undergoing refurbishment these days. It's probably getting in before Brexit kicks in. No, sorry, no more political points. I won't mention that. We talked about it sufficiently at the Great Yorkshire Show. But key highlights that, or indeed past lights, when we sort of acknowledge that when people are listening to this, we'll be putting this out tomorrow, so people will still have a chance to come along.
Absolutely.
On Sunday.
Absolutely. Well, brilliant, because we've got a real action-packed Sunday. Today we've got lots of highlights, and most of those are sold out, actually. So Matt Haig this evening is near enough sold out. The Magic Ship of Stories today
as well.
It's
all those humans with Matt Haig.
Yes, it is, isn't it? And they fill the place. But we've got lots tomorrow as well. We've got an action-packed town hall programme. And what we're really looking forward to, if you're listening to this and you want to come along, is we've got Natasha Pulley tomorrow afternoon, who's author of The Watchmaker of Filigree Street and Bedlam Stacks. Highly, highly, highly recommended.
Natasha.
That sounds amazing. I mean, how did this do compare to organising the one in the castle each year? I imagine this is up and then some, isn't it?
Well, I wasn't involved in doing Books in the Castle, so I only just took over at the end of February. So we did everything from scratch from February onwards to create what we have today.
Will we be seeing that fine chap from Carrington Communications here by any chance?
I believe not, because he's just had a baby girl.
Oh, that's the reason he's obviously gone quiet these days. It's great, you know, what men can do these days, Natasha. It's phenomenal.
It's fascinating.
So we're going to have a little wander around. We're going to speak to a few folk. Anybody that you recommend. Sarah's currently gesticulating to her team to actually get things sorted through, which is quite right too. It works so perfectly on radio. We'll do a few photo shoots as well. And we'll probably sort of check in with you over the next few hours. Natasha's with us until 12 noon. And then she sort of heads off, so that's great. She got an hour's extension there, because she thought she might have to leave at 11, but it's okay. It's 12 o'clock, so we will fall through. You're listening to the Inspired On Air programme for Siren FM on location at the 2017 Newark Book Festival, and it's fantastic.
Thank you, Alex.
bunting. Clearly so much a part of the British summer that it just would not be the same without it.
And when you've got bunting in the rain, that's going to be fun, isn't it? But never mind.
The words of Alison Hurst from Inspire. Talk to us, Alison, about what you're putting together here with this wonderful bunting in the possible slightly inclement conditions, but it's Britain. It's what we expect.
I'm representing Inspire, which is the organisation that's running the library services in Nottinghamshire now. So we've put together a bit of a display focusing on our archive service and some of the resources that we have generally in the libraries, and a bit of an activity for some children as well.
Natasha.
I know you've got some stuff going on actually in Newark Library this weekend, is that correct?
Yes, as part of the festival there is going to be an event this afternoon that's launching our summer reading challenge for children to come along to the library, read 6 books and receive prizes and certificates over the summer. So
a win-win situation.
About that.
And I'm inspired actually by the Jerry May Come, Windows May Go, but Raleigh Goes On Forever and the sort of lines there, Robin Hood obviously. Just talk us through the design of the stand, because I mean, there's clearly a lot of effort gone into this.
There's half of it here, the other half I'm still looking out for my colleague, so at the moment it's mainly focusing on the collection that we have at Nottinghamshire Archives, which does hold material on behalf of the whole county, and Raleigh's archive is one of the most accessible and interesting things that they've got there.
And your thoughts on the festival? Because obviously this is the first time it's been located here, and let's hope it'll be the first of many.
We've supported it when formerly at Books in the Castle, and been happy to be involved. So obviously if there's something celebrating books in Newark, Inspire wants to be there and in and amongst it.
Folk are listening to this online, they're catching it as a podcast or in any way, shape or form. How can they get in touch with the Inspire organisation?
The website is www.inspireculture.org.uk and all the information's on there.
You can always tell, Natasha, the professional stall holders, because they get everything set out in good time and all sorted through. And we're now delighted to speak to
Merlin Fairs, Jackie.
Merlin Fairs and Jackie from Merlin Fairs. Talk to us about what you've got for the book festival today.
Well, we've got a mixture of all sorts of books for any sort of pocket. But mainly we've got a lot of books relating to birds, if people are interested in wildlife.
I did think it was an ornithological paradise that we've got here, potentially.
That's my partner in the business.
So. Is he the chap who's currently setting the things up at present?
Yes.
Doing a fine job. Nice to see you've got a supervisory role here, Jackie.
Well, we hope to have a bit of interest for everybody, but we're delighted to be here supporting Newark Book Festival for the first time.
Yeah.
We've not done this before, so...
Natasha.
You've got some very interesting books on the end, very old looking, like they belong in the 17th or 18th century. What are those ones?
Yes, these are...
Sorry, we'll wander across here. It's all right, we'll come to you.
sorry, they're Charles Dickens storybooks.
Over 125 years old.
Yes, but they're actually leather bound. And
it's not a full set, unfortunately.
It's
not a full set, unfortunately. If it's a full set, it'd be £700.
Well, I was thinking that, but even so, and
they're all beautiful.
Indeed.
Beautifully well kept as well. They're in a very good condition. So,
in a world where clearly the ubiquitousness of e-publishing and the various mobile devices that we can all use to download books, are people still keen to actually have that physicality of the book in their hands?
Definitely. Yes, and I'm sure I get the feeling it's coming back. People have had enough of sitting in front of a screen. They'd rather have the book physically in front of them.
Bad news for opticians.
Well, Natasha, I mean, you've just, you're in the graduand scenario, as we said. Congratulations, a fantastic, good honours degree from the University of Lincoln, 2-1 in journalism. So you put one side of your reading to hand, but you're off on a world's tour shortly. Presumably you will be going with the portable e-device.
No, I personally despise e-readers.
No!
I prefer, like Jackie said, to have something physical in my hands. I'm sorry, I can't wave the technological flag on this one.
That's okay.
But no, I will be taking a load of books in my suitcase. They will get priority over clothes, I'm afraid, on this one.
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant. That's what I like to hear.
Well, do you come load up here.
talk us through what you've got here, because I mean, you've currently got some wonderful sort of Marvel material that's in hand there, Marvel Ultimate Scenario. Yes, well done, well spotted, sir. Obviously. Although having said that, I still tend to be more DC, and we still haven't found Natasha's views as yet on the latest Spider-Man Homecoming movie, but
What I think with the movies is that they keep going over the same ground. With Spider-Man, this will be the third lot.
Yeah,
Actually, I think they do. Natasha, your thoughts?
I haven't actually, as of yet, shockingly seen it. But I will want to see this one. I think it's quite different in terms of you've got the other Avengers coming into this one rather than the traditional
Tony Stark. Market.
Well, Tony Stark, I mean, but he can hold the whole show himself, can't he? So.
Actually, Natasha's holding fire for Ragnarok in November.
Down, girl, down. But I find with Spider-Man, it's not continuity. It's like a different story, but set at a different time of his life, but not consecutively.
But if we've got Miles Morales from Spider-Man 2099, if we've got Gwen Stacy as Spider-Gwen, if we've got Spidey Pig, we've got a multiple universes, we've got to expect it's a big multiverse out there. Who would have thought we'd actually go from Charles Dickens to the Marvel Universe?
Incredible.
Well, in between, you've got Peter F. Hamilton, a local author from Rutland, who's, if they ever make any of his books into films, they'll far outstretch Star Wars and Star Trek. In fact, multiverse, it'll all be in one bloody universe.
It'll be thanks
to... Have you actually read any Peter F. Hamilton?
I have indeed, yes, and there's some
the
wonderful...
Night's Dawn trilogy?
Not as yet, but I will go to that.
That is the first series that actually shows you his skill. There's about 50 different threads all wound into three volumes.
And that's the passion of the Lincoln Book Festival. We forgot, of course, to mention ornithology as well.
Oh, yeah.
Ultimately, I'd probably say I'm still more of a Greg Bear, and I think Stephen Baxter probably beats Peter Hamilton. But I know, yeah, I know,
no
you.
Chance.
So, no, I thought I'd be a bit controversial. No. How can people get
it? I've got all these first edition, first print run signed jobs.
Well, of course, exactly. So how can people actually access you when you're not actually at the New York Book Festival? Where are Merlin Fairs to be found?
We've got a presence on the internet, www.merlinfairs.co.uk. We also run an events at Loudon Village Hall. We've been doing it for 10 plus years now, haven't we?
Yes, it's antique fairs, books, collectibles, and we do one yearly book fair as well.
And you've even got a Rupert the Bear annual in as well from 1950. So just before you were born, actually, Natasha.
Oh, yes. just a little bit further ahead.
Yeah, past life.
Yes.
This could almost serve as a wonderful Book of the Month subsidy as well in terms of the things we're doing. A reminder, you're listening to Inspired On Air on location, out and about, or oot and a boot if you're north of the border, at Newark. Natasha, the musical side has come across here because we've got When the Red, Red Robin Comes Bobbing Along. Words and music by Harry Woods, of course. The somewhat questionable, politically incorrect I Saw Mummy Kissing Santa Claus. And, of course, the unforgettable Bob Halpin, Harold Irving, Johnny Sheridan and Ralph Rufin Number, You're a Pink Toothbrush, I'm a Blue Toothbrush. What's brought your attention to this?
I just saw some of them all wrapped up and they look quite old, and I'm scared to touch them, to be honest, because they're so beautiful. I don't want something to fall apart when I go and touch it, but it's intriguing.
Let's talk to the lady who's setting up this stand, who's not only got sheet music that's actually on sale. This is why we'd hoped Ed Wellman would be with us, but he missed the call this morning. He wasn't around. We had to head off. So we're about to speak to
Lisa Greener.
Lisa, multitasking as a female, yes. You'll be able to cope with this. So you're setting up the stand and so on. Let's deal with Natasha's query first. These wonderful examples of sheet music, where do they go? Where did you get them from? How popular are they?
Very popular. I get them from a supplier that I know. But yeah, the music ones, as you can see, I've got quite a wide range, more than any other style of book here today.
You've even got Puff the Magic Dragon from far, far away.
That's right. That's cater for all tastes and
so
needs.
Tempted was I during seminars to introduce you to the Ugly Duckling and Puff the Magic Dragon. I thought, no, it just wouldn't work really with Jared.
I'd love to see Puff the Magic Dragon in our seminars. I mean, they're such good prices as well. Normally when you buy sheet music, they're so expensive. And to see something as quality as that at such a good price, these must be flying off today. They're going to sell.
Well, again, exactly. We're just looking at that. And in betwixt times, you're also putting out a whole range of things, supporting local authors, which is fantastic.
Yes, I'm also a book publisher and an author.
So let's talk us through some of the key things we've got here with Winding Down.
Winding Down and Why I Have So Many Cats. They're both my books as my pseudonym, my maiden name, Lisa J. Rivers. I wrote Why I Have So Many Cats. It's a witty, bittersweet poetry book about cats. I wrote that about 3 years ago. And then Winding Down, which is the latest book that came out last month, and it's a novel, black comedy.
I think we're going to do a little random read test here. Are you up for this, Natasha? Kind of little random. Well, we both have to go.
The first page of Winding Down.
Okay, well, would you like to select the routine, and we'll put Natasha on the spot, and then I'll pick it up from that sort of point of view. So we'll do a little routine. So Natasha, are you ready to actually cast your dramatic things to the hand? I think it's called January.
Yes, it looks very dramatic already. It looks like you're planning to murder someone. I looked blankly at the cashier, confused by what he meant. Rope, duct tape, Stanley knife, he remarked, indicating to the items ready to be scanned. Yes, indeed, I had rope, duct tape, a tumble dryer filter, Stanley knife, and garden hose. I scrambled for a response, but I was taking too long. Was I looking too guilty? Should I give an explanation that was less likely to be murder? The rope is to tow my car, I responded vaguely. The hose is for my garden. The rest is for my tumble dryer. Was that too explanatory? His response would answer the question for me. Surely one of those bungee ropes with the hooks on the end would be more suitable as a rope could snap, he suggested.
See, a bit of performance reading there, Lisa.
Yes. Yes. She was really good, wasn't she? Very impressive.
I thought that was outstanding. Went wonderful. Well done indeed. Let's look ahead to some of the things you're also promoting here, which are coming up towards the end of the month. So in good time for people who might be listening to this on Sunday, or indeed sort of slightly later, the Summer Rainbow Fair that we've got here.
That's in Minor Oak in Nottingham. We're supporting Nottingham Pride on the 29th of July, and we have various rainbow-themed stalls at the event on that day.
And what's your favourite part of the stand? I mean, if we were to actually say, is it the sheet music? Is it your own Winding Down, Lisa J. Rivers?
It's got to be my own. I only set up officially as a book publisher about 2 months ago. And already I've got 2 books due out at 1st of August to be released, which is Nature Boy by Mike Herrin and The Brain Behind Freelance Writing by Gabriel, unpronounceable surname.
I think it's Ezeorobo.
Oh, thank you. And he's also written a poetry book. He's a Nigerian poet, and I've just brought out his poetry book as well, which is for sale today as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, as Natasha took the life of that, do you want to select a piece of poetry that I'll sort of attempt to do from Gabriel
Ezeorobo?
We'll do this and hopefully sort of do it some justice. How can people get in touch with your good self as far as the web's concerned, please?
Green-cat.co. Try and keep it nice and simple. The name of the company is Green Cat Books. And we're book publishers, secondhand books, and I'm also an author.
Multi-talented. Okay, here we go. From Gabriel Ezeorobo, The Words of My Mouth. It is finished. They say it is finished. They say they will do us well, more than the colonial masters of the past, that we don't need to worry about anything but learn how to be slaves. They say it is finished. They made us believe the things for the deaf people. They say we don't need to worry about anything but learn how to be deaf. They say it is finished. They put us here in this paradise. Which prison is better off? They say we don't need to worry about anything but learn how to be prisoners, hoping to be free someday. Was that okay, Lisa?
That was wonderful.
Do you think Gabrielle would have been happy with that?
I hope so, yes.
I kind of channeled my inner academic from the University of Lincoln to that, as sort of the prisoners, the sort of theme from that. It's marvellous.
Being in Nigeria, I don't know if you'll actually get to hear it. Well, I'm sure you did him justice.
The World Wide Web is there, and I do know from our colleague Ola Ogunyemi that, in fact, in Nigeria, they have the internet as well.
Wow, it's startling.
So you can send the links through social media. Lisa, it's been fabulous today. Have a fantastic day. Hopefully we'll see you again very soon.
Yes, come back and buy anything you want.
I came from Leicester on the train. It could be the opening line from a classic novel, couldn't it, really?
I think you should write it, Alex.
I came from Leicester on the train. Well, I'd have to give credit, certainly, to the author of The Invisible Girl and more, and that, I presume, is the amazing Samantha Houghton.
Hello.
First question, Samantha, for our football fans. Any relation to Ray?
Absolutely none at all.
Just want to clarify that. It's very important. You're selling copies of The Invisible Girl, A Secret Life. What's it all about?
It's my own true story of overcoming adversity in my life. Since I was a child, I went through a lot of emotional pain when I was younger. Which I never got the right help for, so it went on for years. But I'm now in a really good position where I've written my book, obviously, and I also mentor, and I'm creating courses to help people who have come from a similar background to me.
It's amazing to see this sort of thing done, because mental health is often quite a taboo subject, isn't it? It's swept under the carpet. Have you found it's been a very positive reception generally to your book, and people are saying, finally, we can discuss it?
Very, very positive, yes. And I... sort of like the tagline for my book, The Invisible Girl, it's A Secret Life, which I found that by keeping it such a secret, it was like impacting on me and making it much worse and kept it going. So I'm now the opposite, and I talk incredibly openly about everything, mental health-wise.
No, that's really commendable. Well done. Well done.
And how can people actually get in touch with your Griselda if they can't get to the New York Book Festival over this weekend?
It's available. There's a link to Amazon through my website, which is www.samanthahoughton.co.uk. And also, if you find me on Facebook, I'm very active on there. My Facebook page is The Invisible Girl.
Interesting, you said, obviously you know how to pronounce it, Houghton, because being a northern lad, I tend to say Houghton, as in Houghtonly Spring, Houghtonly Spring. It could be even Houghton, perhaps, but let's not go there.
No, I know, I get, various variations on my name, yes.
The important thing is you're not related to Ray Houghton, that's the important thing.
No, but I did used to live at Houghton on the Hill as well in Leicestershire.
Oh, whoa. Is there going to be a sequel to The Invisible Girl, A Secret Life?
Yes, there is. I'm already, I'm on chapter 6 of the second book. Because once I'd written this, I wrote this in 16 days in February. It just flooded out of me, and I had many realisations since. So they had to. I started writing. I thought, well, it's going to be another book, isn't it?
Is that following on from you at a slightly older standpoint? Is that still you, or is that another character?
It's still me, but it's just, even though you know all the stuff in your head, once actually writing a book like this was very cathartic, but it was also. It brought up old things and old memories, which then led me onto lots of thought processes. And literally, once I'd read this, wrote this, I went into a dark place for about a month, which really scared me. But it was obviously 30 years of not so great stuff all in one go processing. But through that came all these new realizations. So that's what the new book will be about.
Recognisable hat, so you sort of go a bit different and go for the nice wide-brimmed boonie hat version. Which,
just taken out of context, you've got to go for your hat again. Just it's like there are literary gems coming through the cosmos, just begging to be compiled in your book, Natasha.
Well, you've got to be known for something, and that is a rather wonderful camouflage hat. It's got lovely poppies. I see a forest badge on there. I see a skull and crossbones. It's wonderful.
And it's being worn by the legend that is Steve P. Lee.
Legend, maybe. Legend,
no,
maybe not.
The author of Gene Weaver's Revelations. I suspect Gene Weaver's may well be tying in somehow with genetic engineering and maybe adenosine, guanine, thymine, cytosine, the four base players of the deoxyribonucleic acid molecule. Or maybe it's something completely different.
No, it certainly is that. They are... a nasty alien race, if you like, who definitely like to play with DNA, and
from Mansfield then.
From Mansfield.
Sorry, Mansfield folk.
That kind of
we are in Nottinghamshire.
Area. Yeah, yeah. No, that's any bias from Mansfield gone now, isn't it?
Never. So I'll take full responsibility. Any Mansfield people who are irate, invite us along to your book festival, and we'll celebrate your goodness too.
Yeah, that sounds good. I might even turn up, you know, with a baseball bat to defend myself against you now, but, you know, it's possible.
Natasha, let's hand over the interviewing rights to yourself, otherwise I'll have to contact my lawyer. Would you like to talk a little bit about Gene Weaver's with Steve?
Yeah, so genetics and aliens, where did that initially come from? Is that building on, you know, watching Star Trek and Star Wars as a child and then just bringing...
X-Files.
X-Files, exactly, a bit of Marvel in there, or what's your kind of basis?
Yeah, a bit of everything, you know, from a very early age. I was, seven when Star Wars came out, so that's always been there and reading the science
that
fiction.
Was 40 years ago. That you can't possibly be that. I thought you were today over 24.
No, I'm afraid I am. My oldest son dropped me off today, and he's 21 later in the month, so, yeah. But no, it's all come from the deep, dark dungeons of my mind, really. Tried not to copy anybody or pick up on anything else and try to be original. But I think in science fiction, it's going to be very difficult. So there may well be books out there that I've never seen or read that it bears similarities to. But hopefully it stands in its own right as a work of gibberish.
There is no such thing as an original item. The great Greek philosophers actually pointed that out back in several hundred years BC. So everybody kind of takes inspiration from different sources and so on. And let's face it, Gene Weaver's would not have been manifest without the work of Crick and Watson uncovering the DNA helix back in 52, 53. But that sort of hard science, would you say this is more science fantasy, hard science fiction? Where do you pitch it from that perspective? Is it speculative fiction?
I've tried not to upset Brian Cox by going against too many laws of physics, although I'm sure there are elements in there that he would beat me around the face and neck with. But no, I've made it less hard sci-fi and more just a good adventure story with military elements thrown in, plenty of action, young main character to get other people interested in, who goes through, I hate the term, but he goes through quite a journey, well, 18 light years worth actually, twice.
That's bigger than the distance from Lincoln to Newark.
I know, it's shocking, almost inconceivable.
It is, and you know, if you try and travel it at the speed of light, you're going to have infinite mass, which is heavier than both Lincoln and Newark put together.
Steve, I'm going to ask you to, if you'd be kind enough, do a little short mini extract now, sort of a little live reading from Gene Weaver's. I mean, or you can ask Natasha or myself to do one, but I just think we've already touched it. Let's give a little sort of random flavour. But as the author, we presume you know exactly what the best paragraph would actually be, or so, to actually say, I'll go with that. So a real chance actually to hear the awesome Steve P. Lee, wearer of the hat of the New York Book Festival, with his little selection from Revelations and Gene Weaver's, or Gene Weaver's Revelations. Still working through this process, because we have contractual deepness.
I just managed to find the paragraph which I thought would be fine, but it's got a lovely F word in there.
Yes, we'd obviously have to delete that in various ways for radio audiences, but anyway.
Right. Here we go, from page 14 in chapter 1. Armed guards in blackened full-face helmets, exuding a don't-mess-with-us attitude, stood ready as soon as Sean and Sam scrambled out of the crew compartment. An officer stood behind, unarmoured and unarmed. With a flick of his fingers, he assigned a pair of guards to each of them, turned on his heels and marched towards the hangar exit. They followed as he led them along cramped, dimly lit corridors with bundles of cables and pipes running overhead. Several times they heard shouting and saw figures in the distance, the spark of electronic systems shorting and the electric blue of welding arcs. It dawned on Sean that, unlike the space plane, the destroyer was fitted with an onboard gravity field generator. Up several bare metal flights of stairs, and they emerged into a much fresher corridor, cream walls with subtle white plasma lighting panels along the cable-free roof. The officer led them through a side door into what was a quite unexpected room. Unexpected to Sean, anyway. "Well, Officer Country," said Sam. "Not been in a room like this for years." The officer looked at the big man with a quizzical expression, but said nothing. The armed guards left the room, but made a show of taking up positions outside.
Well, I'm hooked, Natasha.
It sounds fabulous. You've got me. You've got me.
Audio rights, signed, sealed and delivered, will be sorted. I did actually start off by saying, Steve, was this the end of a series? I mean, with it being Revelations, or is it the beginning? Where, I mean, do people have to read prequels before they actually get to this stage, or can they just pick up Gene Weaver's Revelations and say, it's all in there?
No, I'm sure they could read something far better by a different author beforehand, but this is...
Do you have an agent? Because they'd be pulling their hair out with lines like that.
Yeah, it's myself. I'm sacking myself later. No, it's the first in what's hoped to be a trilogy, so published this year.
So you start with Genesis then, basically, or the final one will be Genesis, basically. So you go Revelations, you go sort of main text, and then you do Genesis.
Oh, bizarrely, I'm probably the biggest atheist you could come across, so you know, it's more to do with revealing things, but revealings is a bad word, so Revelations was far better. But book two, Gene Weaver's The Feline Factions, is 74,000 words in rough draft already, and I'm aiming for September.
Web address, how can people get in touch with your good self?
Steve P. Lee, author, on Facebook. I don't have a web address yet, but I'm hoping my 16-year-old daughter can sort that out for me over the summer holidays.
Signed copies if you're listening to this on a Sunday morning and fancy coming along for the final part of the Newark Book Festival. A mere £7 English pounds, and they are signed copies, so great stuff there. Steve, great touching base with yourself. I love the cosmos and effectively basically nebulae in the background there. Well, Brian Cox would be very happy with that, wouldn't you, sir?
I think he would. I think he would approve.